This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The great Phil Savage a former executive in the National Football League, now the general manager of the Arizona Hotshots in the Alliance for American Football, SiriusXM NFL analyst, host of the Football Philosophy podcast as well, has been a guest before, is a guest this morning. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Phil, what's up?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Yes, we're live in San Antonio, Texas, where all eight teams of the Alliance are down here with training camp underway. So while all the focus has been on the college national championship and the NFL playoffs, we're getting ready for a new season that will open up the weekend after the Super Bowl.
Go ahead, Taz. I was just going to ask a similar question. Yeah, well, I was just wondering, Phil, how's things going? How's the hot shots? How's the squad? Everything's forming well. Everything, because it's so new, right? So there's a lot of intrigue. I'm looking forward to it myself. Talk a little bit about how the squad's coming together.
Yeah, I would say that it has exceeded expectations, at least in my mind. Our head coach is Rick Neuheisel, who is one of your colleagues here with CBS.
Yes, sir.
And he's having a blast putting this team together. We have 75 players currently on our roster. We'll drop down to 52 players for the regular season. But the enthusiasm is very high. I would say that the quality of talent is better than probably what I anticipated, quite honestly. And I can't speak for the other seven teams, but this feels like a real thing. You know, our hotel is nice. Our food is good. Our practice field is suitable. The uniforms fit. We've got real football. The guys are throwing it around. So it's been more authentic and has really come to life, I think, better than even I expected in my mind, guys.
What should, with all that, Phil, being said, those football fans that tune in, what do you think, what do you expect, realistic expectations of what you guys should be and what you will show to the football fan year one?
Well, I think the level of play will be very good. I think it'll be somewhere between college football and the NFL. I mean, the reality is by the time all eight teams reduce the rosters to 52, that's about 400 players. And this is the next best 400 players in the world this side of the NFL. And so we expect the quality to be good. Look, in these practices thus far, sure, some guys are making mistakes. I mean, it's the first time we've ever been together. But there's also been quite a level of efficiency in terms of the passing game with our quarterbacks and receivers. And, you know, I've been a little surprised going through this journey since last May when I came on board with the Alliance at the level of athlete, the level of player that has been overlooked or just there wasn't enough room for him to make it in the NFL. And this is going to be a niche league, guys. It's going to be somewhat of a bridge between college in the NFL. It's not for every player in America, but it is for those guys that may have had an injury coming out for the draft and maybe went to a team where the position was stacked with talent and they just never got enough reps to really show what they could do. Maybe not a scheme fit with the team that they were drafted to or that they signed with as a free agent. And for some of our players, it's not only giving them a second or third chance, but for some of the guys, it's a first chance because they were completely overlooked coming out for the draft as recently as this past year. So it's going to really be an intriguing first season, and I think the hardcore football fan is really going to enjoy it. I think that in general, they will enjoy the format and the rules and the way all of this is coming together.
Well, I think it's great. I think it's great because there's so many talented players, as you know, Phil, that fall through the cracks that don't get a chance to maybe play in the NFL, you know. And that you know, just because you're not in the NFL doesn't mean you're not elite player or don't have the potential to be elite. And speaking of elite and speaking of the NFL, so if we could just segue, man, NFL divisional playoffs, they're rocking and rolling starting tomorrow. So if we could talk about that for a second, man. Cowboys, Dallas Cowboys, you know, what's it going to take for Dallas to win in L.A., in your opinion?
Well, I think it's a fairly simple formula. I think if they get Zeke Elliott going in terms of the run game and provide some cover, so to speak, for Dak Prescott, who's, you know, played real well here of late. And obviously the acquisition of Amari Cooper has given them a different dimension, and it's changed their season. And, you know, I was doing the color for Alabama when Amari was there. He had 124 catches his junior year, if you can imagine that for an Alabama receiver. And so, you know, I like the Cowboys' chances in terms of their style of play on the offensive side. I think it could be frustrating for the Rams. Look, sometimes when you take that week off, it takes you a quarter to get into the rhythm of the game. So I'm anxious to see if L.A. starts fast coming off of a bye week, or did it take them a little time to get going? And then if Dallas can limit their possessions, then does frustration kick in? Or, you know, do we see the Rams of the first half of the season after they've gotten some refreshment here over the last week? But I think it's really going to be a terrific game. It's got a lot of interest in terms of which way it could go. I don't think it's just a landslide obvious choice to say the Rams at home, especially based on the way they played in the playoffs last year against Atlanta at home.
When you look at the earlier game on Saturday, Phil, out to Kansas City we go. How about the Chiefs and Colts? Everybody seems to be on Indianapolis, and they've been on a great run, and you know, Luck comeback player of the year, and Reich has done a great job of coaching that team. You look at a Kansas City team looking for a home playoff victory. Mahomes is going to be the MVP of the league, 50 touchdowns in the regular season. But they weren't as dominant down the stretch, losing three of their final six games in the regular season. What about the Colts going into Kansas City?
Yeah, I'm anxious to see how tight the Chiefs are. Do they come out? Are they loosey-goosey? Or, you know, do they just pick up kind of where they've left off? Patrick Mahomes over 50 touchdown passes. But in the playoffs, it's just a different proposition. It just doesn't feel like you should be able to throw it all over the yard like they have all season. Again, very similar in terms of the Colts' ability to run the ball with Marlon Mack. I mean, I don't know how closely you guys have watched Andrew Luck, but he's throwing the ball as well now as he did, you know, coming out
Absolutely.
As a rookie from
Yep.
Stanford. I mean, that ball is clean coming out of his hand right now. And with Mack's ability to run it behind this very physical offensive line, you know, simple strategy, play keep away from this high-powered Chiefs offense. You know, Tyreek Hill is the guy that you can't let out of the gate, so to speak. If they can limit his big plays and make Kansas City have some patience and have to drive the football, I think the Colts come in with a ton of confidence. And with the playoff experience that Andrew Luck has in his past, I think that could really help them in this game.
Yeah, man, I hear what you're saying. So if we go to Sunday, Phil, at 1:05 p.m. Eastern, the other AFC deal with the Chargers going up to play the Patriots. So, listen, man, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, two veteran quarterbacks, and Tom Brady, obviously, with Belichick, they've been stellar in the postseason. It kind of just goes away. It almost seems like a foregone conclusion that they're home for the postseason. But Chargers got to fly across the country from Los Angeles to go up to Massachusetts. And it's going to be chilly. It's going to be rough. And, I mean, you know, what's your breakdown of this thing? What do you think happens? Lay it out for us.
Well, I think that the Patriots, for one, will obviously try to harass and pressure Phillip Rivers. You've heard Bill Belichick in the press conferences this week almost lay out sort of their game plan in terms of, you know, knowing that the beginning and end of their strategy will be to take Melvin Gordon away in the ground attack, but then try to make Phillip Rivers as uncomfortable as possible, make the ball come out quick at times, and then other times probably play coverage and see if he can sort through, you know, an eight-man drop or what have you. But, you know, the Patriots, they certainly during the season have not been as crisp, as efficient as people have normally grown accustomed to watching them over the years. I don't think that they're invincible at home this year. Look, Phillip Rivers, because of his ability to distribute the football and the playmakers around him And the fact that the Chargers are coming off of the momentous win against the Ravens. In other words, when you're a road team in the playoffs, sometimes it's more fun and the guys actually enjoy it more going on the road. It's sort of that us against the world mentality. I think the Chargers have that right now. I think they clearly can make a game of this because I don't know that New England is all that defensively. And if it turns into a shootout kind of contest, I give the Chargers a real opportunity to perhaps steal one there in Foxborough, which would be a huge upset.
Phil, when you look at the late game on Sunday, Eagles and Saints down in New Orleans, how about the brilliance of what Nick Foles has been able to provide that team, stepping in for an injured Carson Wentz once again? We saw in the regular season, which was a New Orleans rout, different Philadelphia team now, defensive line getting after it. We know what pressure can do to Breeze in that offense. The Cowboys showed you that in the regular season. They're a heavy underdog going into New Orleans. Difficult spot to play. Could you envision an Eagles victory on Sunday against the Saints?
Well, I think there's definitely a path to victory for them, but I think the road's much narrower in New Orleans than it was in Chicago. The Saints at home, when things are going well, it's one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. And I think where I mentioned the bye maybe not being that advantageous for a team like the Rams, I think for the Saints it is, because they're at home, because they have such playoff experience with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And look, I think the fact that they wobbled some in December, I think that sort of reset things for them. I'm expecting them to play really well. You know, I'm a former Philadelphia Eagle for 3 years, so I have connections there, but I think this may be the end of the road for the Eagles. The Foles story has been phenomenal in terms of what he's been able to do once again. I just don't know if they're capable of pulling off another upset on the road in that environment. I just think the Saints are too good offensively, and if it turns into a scoring fest, I'm just not sure this Eagles team is as equipped to do it as they were a year ago.
So, Phil, Pittsburgh Steelers president Art Rooney, as you know, he said Antonio Brown's not going to be released, but trade and other options might go down, might be on the table. How do you think this thing shakes out, Phil? You think AB is a Steeler next season?
You know, I tend to think not, especially when the owner basically comes out and says as much if you read between the lines. You know, you look at the Oakland Raiders that have 5 number one draft picks over the next 2 drafts, and John Gruden and his penchant to acquire veteran players. I think that's an obvious place to look. But I think the way it is right now, I would expect that Antonio Brown is not a Pittsburgh Steeler by the time we get to the opening of next training camp.
You know, Phil, I have to ask you about Bama, because you mentioned the national championship game. You're close to that program. You did color, close to Saban. Not surprised that Clemson won the game. How stunned were you there watching Alabama get torn apart the way that they did out there in Santa Clara, California?
I would say definitely a shock to see Alabama come unraveled like they did. That's the only game in 12 years where that's happened. I mean, Bama certainly had some losses through the season, but nothing of that magnitude in terms of where, you know, everything that really could go wrong for them did, offensively down the red zone, defensively with the big plays, the explosive plays that were allowed, and then special teams, you know, missed extra point, a kick out of bounds, the ill-fated fake attempt. It just did not look like the same Alabama team that we're accustomed to watching over the years. But I will say this, guys, I had a sense all year long, and, you know, obviously I'm close to Alabama, I pull for them, but I just had one of those feelings. Remember UNLV back in the early 90s when they just seemed invincible in college basketball?
Yeah, when they destroyed Duke in Denver, yeah, Larry Johnson.
I had the same feeling because everybody wanted to put Bama on this pedestal, and there were some cracks, some chinks in the armor through the course of the regular season. Unfortunately, they all came to a head against a very good Clemson team. These were clearly the two best squads in the country. They very well could meet next year in the national championship. But I will say a couple things here. Both are going to lose a ton of juniors. It's expected that today will be the day that we find out which Bama underclassmen will move on to the NFL. So, you know, there's not a lot of carryover from year to year because it's going to be a different team next year. And, of course, Bama's already lost three assistant coaches already here before this weekend. But I would say after today and once they get recruiting going again tonight and tomorrow, both of these teams will be pointed towards 2019 rather than worrying about what happened last Monday night.
You know, Phil, final one for me, because I got to ask you as a talent evaluator, Lawrence and Tua. I saw Gil Brandt, legendary, former Cowboy executive now. He works with you over at SiriusXM NFL Radio, tweet out saying, Lawrence was the most impressive freshman quarterback that he's ever seen. You share a similar sentiment with the Clemson signal caller?
Well, because of the size, 6'5", he's listed at 6'6", the ability to throw the ball to all parts of the field with no strain. You don't see him strain to get the ball to any corner of the football field. So you surround him with that kind of talent, and he looks like he's the number one pick in 2021. And, with Tua Tagovailoa, he's a sensational talent, incredible instincts. But I would say this, his height will bother some NFL teams. And then secondly, I think his durability will be questioned unless he can stay healthy this next year completely. Because you think about it, last spring he had the broken hand, missed basically the spring. Then he had the knee crop up during the season and then the ankle at the end. And, I think some of that really took its toll on him, especially when it was just the one-week turnaround from the semifinal to the championship. Remember against Oklahoma, he was 24 for 27. He looked awesome. But then the quick turnaround and going against an NFL-level defense in Clemson, he didn't look like the same player. So I think those are two things that people will question going into next year. But if he stays healthy in 2019, he could conceivably be a top 10, top 5. He might even be the number one pick for the 2020 draft. So it was that rare occasion where we may have seen two quarterbacks who could conceivably go number one in back-to-back years play against each other in a championship game.
Phil, you're fantastic as always. Thanks for the time this Friday morning. Good luck with training camp, and we appreciate it. All right, we'll be watching.
Yes, thanks, Phil, man.
Guys, enjoyed it. Go Shot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.